Hey friends, welcome to Girls Night. I'm Stephanie Mae Wilson, and I'm so happy that you're here. Each week, I have a girlfriend over, and we talk through one of the biggest questions we have about our lives as women. We're talking about friendships and faith and relationships and self-confidence, about our calling in life and how to live every bit of our lives to the full. Life is so much better and easier and absolutely more fun when we navigate it together as girlfriends, and I cannot wait to get started. Friends, I'm so excited about today's episode. Today, we're talking about how to make cooking more fun and less stressful. Now, if you've been listening to Girls Night for a while, you know that I absolutely love food. I can tell you exactly what I've eaten on every single one of my birthdays, and I'm pretty sure that great restaurants are my love language. The trick to this is that I would much rather someone else make food than me try to cook it myself. Can anyone else relate? But cooking is an incredible thing, and it's something I want to get better at, and it's a necessity of our everyday lives. And so I wanted to talk with someone who can simplify this for us and help us become more confident in the kitchen. And today's guest is going to do just that. Our guest for today's episode is Bree McCoy. I recently received Bree's cookbook in the mail, and it's called The Cook's Book, Recipes for Keeps and Essential Techniques to Master Everyday Cooking. And I fell in love. Bree calls herself an accidental home cook, which she'll explain more in the episode, but she truly fell in love with cooking and is here to teach us some of the things she learned along the way. In this episode, she shares how to make a meal plan, how to tweak recipes and your kitchen to fit your personal taste. She talks about the staples that we should all have in our pantry, and she even shares some of her favorite recipes from her cookbook. My mouth is watering just thinking about them. We finished this episode and we're both so hungry. Friends, if you're a beginner in the kitchen like me, I love that there are ways to make this more enjoyable, and Bree is going to tell us how. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Friends, springtime is finally here, but that also means allergy season is in full swing. I have always struggled with allergies, and I don't know about you, but I am especially allergic to cats. More on that in a second. Well, luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double-action combination of prescription-strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. The time that I use Claritin the absolute most is when I'm at my parents' house, my childhood home. They have this absolutely beautiful cat that they love and I like, except for the fact that he sheds so much. So that means that I'm basically sneezing from the second I arrive home to the second I leave, unless I take Claritin. My dad has even started having it ready for me right when I walk in the door. Are you ready to live life as though you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Claritin, thank you so much for sponsoring our girls' night. We love having you. Friends, I am so excited for who you get to meet today. I'm sitting here with my new friend, Bree McCoy. Bree, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited about our conversation.
Me too. I received your book. Well, we'll talk. Okay, before I get into this, tell us who you are, what you do, and a fun fact about yourself.
My name is Bree McCoy, and I consider myself an accidental home cook turned cookbook author. I'm recently published The Cook's Book. That's my first cookbook. And a fun fact about myself is, I think like 3 years ago, this is one of the best things I think I've ever done for myself. 3 years ago, I decided to get laser hair removal on my legs and armpits. And it is changed. It actually changed my life. Like, it has actually changed my life.
That is like, saves you so much time.
Showers are like, so, like, I'm like, oh, wash my hair. I'm done.
Like, is this what boys have always been doing? Like,
right? Uh-huh. The summers are so nice because I'm never like, I'm not like, oh my gosh, wait, I have to go shave real quick or anything. And I just like being smooth. I like, I'm no shame to anyone who likes their hair. Hair is great. I like to be smooth. And so I'm like, I'm not dealing with it anymore. And I would get like razor bumps all the time on my legs because I have sensitive skin. Same. So I'm like, this is the best, this is like the best kept secret. I wish someone would have told me about it. Oh, you know, I wish I would have done it sooner.
I have looked into it. I have blonde hair though, and it doesn't pick up. Like it has to have some pigment. So I do have some darker hair on my legs now. So I'm like, maybe now's my time.
Yes.
But blondes, it's like, we're the exception to the rule. It stinks.
It's so true. And I'm not a natural blonde, so it worked for me.
You get the best of both worlds. Yes. I love it. I love it.
Exactly.
That is so fun. That is a really good fun fact. And I'm very jealous.
It's great.
We went to the pool like not that long ago. And I was like, I'm going to shower real quick. And my husband's like, why? We're going to the pool. And I'm like, I don't want to like fully explain to you. Like, you just can't go to the pool, my friends. You have to take care of some business first. Yeah.
Got to take care of business. Exactly. Oh my gosh, when I travel, no razor, no shaving cream. That's the other thing. I'm like, I'm just telling you, it is so worth it. It was worth every single penny, every single penny. But that is a good tip. If you're blonde, if your hair is blonde, it doesn't
they should
work as
tell
well.
You though. They should be able to tell you, like, oh no, it's too blonde for this. Yeah. That is. I love it. Everyone just added that to their wish list.
Exactly.
Brie, I am so happy to talk to you. I was sent your book, which happens when you have a podcast, you get a lot of books in the mail, but it's very fun. And I am like a want to be food writer, food show host, critic, restaurant, like restaurateur, but I don't like to cook. Like I'm not good at it. But I love food. I love food. I'm so interested in it. All the shows I watch are about food, like food blogs are like, oh, it's just such a happy place for me. And I just don't like actually make anything. People who've been listening to the show for a while know this about me. But that's why when I saw your book come through, first of all, it's beautiful. Second of all, like this might be one of my biggest weaknesses as an adult. And so that's why like I need to talk to someone who loves this and is good at this and can help us make this easier. Because the shocking thing is that 3 times a day, we have to like eat. And like my kids are hungry and I'm confused. Like again, like didn't we just do this? So anyway, I'm very much hoping that you can like make this just a little bit easier for us.
Oh yes, that's the whole goal with the book. I mean, I was the same way when I started out. I was like, what I bring to the table is I can eat. That's my gift. Like I love good food. I love to go to fun restaurants. I love to travel. Like when I travel, it's like we're traveling to eat.
Yes.
Like that's the plan.
Yes.
And everything on the agenda is just for the next meal. Uh-huh. It's like, are we going on a hike? It's so that I can have my next meal, like so that I get hungry again. So
it's
I can have my next
biding
meal.
Time in between yes. lunch and dinner. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Yes, exactly. So I was the same way. I was like, and I really was like, I don't think I need to learn how to cook. I was like, I think Jeremy can learn how to cook. That sounds fine.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds great.
So how did you go from being like, I mean, I love food, but I don't really like cooking to a cookbook author? Tell us about your journey.
No one saw it coming. Literally no one saw it coming. But basically I was newly married to Jeremy and we were like very quickly going to go into what I called high takeout debt. Cause we were just like ordering food every night. And Jeremy was like, hey, like there's a better way. we got to figure something out here. And I truly was like, oh my gosh, we're going to go hungry. That's what's going to happen. But he said like I'll learn to cook or we can learn to cook. And I was like, yeah, you learn to cook. And the problem with that was I worked from home and he's in the military. So he like went into an office. And by the time he got home, I was like so hungry. I was starving. And so then I would order takeout. And so I was like, I'm going to do it. Like, I'm going to figure this out because, again, I want to eat. And so it was really like a means to an end. Like, I was like, I want to eat. So I got to cook food. So I went into Barnes & Noble and grabbed Cooking Light, which I thought was like light cooking. I didn't realize it was healthy cooking.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We're cooking light.
Yeah.
Not heavy on the cooking.
And easy so, button. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I was like, this is great. And then I was cooking through it and I was like, this is healthy cooking, but still. I was like, there's still a lot happening, but mm-hmm. still. And so I cooked my way through that cookbook and I realized like, oh my gosh, wait, I really like this. It was like a hobby. It became very fun.
When was this? How long,
I think probably like 6 months into cooking, I was okay. Like, oh, I love this. It was like a very nice break from my work day. Mm-hmm. And I would, you know, be listening to a favorite podcast or music or, you know, I kind of made it a fun little, maybe a favorite drink while I was cooking. And it just kind of became this more fun ritual and break from like the grind of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me, so like, how did this become your career then? What were you doing before? What does work life look like now?
Yeah. So I was working for a nonprofit that I really loved. And when I got married, I moved to Florida because that's where my husband was stationed. And I just assumed that I was going to have to stop working for the nonprofit. But they were like, why don't you work from home? And I was like, perfect. Love that. And so I was working from home, still working for the nonprofit. And I was in the marketing department of the nonprofit. It's like the online marketing. And so I was part of the blog that they had and social media outreach. And so I started my own blog kind of just to like know more about like what a blog is. Like, what are we doing here? Like, what are we trying to accomplish here? I should probably have my own blogs just so I can like poke around. Uh-huh. And I decided to make it a food blog. So it really started out as like my stumblings in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And because I was connected, I started to get connected to so many people through my nonprofit work that were bloggers, authors, speakers. They started sharing my blog and they started sharing my Instagram. And so then from there, probably like 2 years in, my blog changed from like stumblings in the kitchen and, you know, chaos in the kitchen to, well, you all, I found out how to cook. Let me show you how. And so it became more like recipe driven and here's how to do this, here's how to do that. And then, an agent asked me if I would like to write a book. And I was like, okay. So I end up leaving my nonprofit job and like putting all the eggs in the cooking basket, as you will.
My gosh. I have heard that writing a cookbook is very hard because not only are you like writing, but you are recipe testing. Is that?
Oh my gosh. It is so hard. It is so hard. And I have written, so my first book was Come and Eat, and it's a trade book. It's like a nonfiction book that's more like a food memoir. So there's many words, like it's a food memoir. It is my story of falling in love with cooking. So I've written one of those books. Then I wrote a cookbook, fast forward several years later, and I write this cookbook and I was like, this book is going to kill me. I was like, writing a book is hard enough. Like writing a book is so hard. And then you have to put into it like the recipe testing and creating the recipes and the food photography and the food styling and the layout of the book matters so much because, you know, people need to be able to like use it as a cookbook. And it was so much.
That is so much. Also, I did not realize that you had written a food memoir. That is my favorite category of book. Like if you ask me, any day of the week, what kind of book do you want to read? I'm like, a food memoir. And if it takes place, if it has any travel aspect, I'm like, I'm so in.
Oh, same. I love a food memoir. They're my favorite. Because you kind of feel like you got a stamp on your passport in a way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're like, I traveled, I ate. It was great.
It was great. Okay. I love that. So I want to get like, as a person who's been in my shoes, I'm going to not say our shoes. I'm going to assume better of my community and assume that they are not as, they don't struggle quite as much as I do. But for people who are in my shoes, where is a good place to get started? If we're like, I want to learn to cook or I'm going to go into Thai takeout debt, where do we start?
So That's a great question because I wrote the book for someone who literally was saying, like, where do I start? And back in 2020, right when the pandemic happened, you know, everybody was staying at home. Everybody was like, restaurants were closed, you know, and all of a sudden all these people were like,
sourdough.
sourdough starters. And so I actually ended up creating an online class that taught people how to cook. It was like the Everyday Kitchen Masterclass, and it was 5 weeks. And we every week we learned a lesson, and then we made recipes that reinforced that lesson. And then the next week we would learn another lesson and make recipes that built on both weeks. And so we did so until you got to the end where you created a recipe that like was using all of the techniques or tips or hacks that you learned. And it was just like building on each other. And so that's actually how I ended up writing the cook's book. So you could literally go from beginning to end through the cook's book. And it's like, here's your first building block, like learn this. Now let's make a recipe that like the first thing that we really learn about is salt. And one of the recipes we make is guacamole, and we make it without the salt. Like I'm like, make it without the salt and take like, so that you are like tasting through the experience. And there's all like fun tips throughout the book, like, you know, try this with that or do this with your knife or with that or whatever it is. And so you're not just cooking, you're actually learning the art of cooking.
I love that. I'm very sad I missed your class. I was very pregnant during the pandemic. I was newly pregnant in the beginning of it. So I maybe wasn't the best like candidate. I was like asleep and nauseous, but that's so cool. Do you still teach the course?
Yes, I do. I release the course at the end of every year and people are able to go through it. And it has like all these on-demand videos of me making the recipe. So really like people make the recipe alongside me, and we do fun things like taste our salt and make salsa. And
really cool. That's really cool. Okay. I love that. Okay. So, I mean, really what we need, everyone needs your book. We'll link to it in the show notes. But starting, seasoning, is that a good place to start?
Yes, that is. So the first two things that I really teach in the book is seasoning and using things like salt and other herbs and spices. And then the second thing that we really talk about is, you know, when you watch the food shows and they're always like, taste as you go, like all the time. I'm like, yes, but also we need to use all of our other senses that are available to us. So like I teach the salt aspect, and then I teach like, how do we use our sense of smell, sight, touch, sound to also know how to be a good cook in the kitchen. Like when you put a piece of chicken breast in the pan and you hear that sizzle, like, you know, your pan is properly heated. Or if you squeeze a lemon and you're like, okay, this lemon is really soft, which means it's probably extra juicy, which means if a recipe calls for a whole lemon, maybe you don't need to use a whole of your lemon because it's that juicy.
Interesting. Okay. Talk to me about the difference between, or the progression, I guess, from reading a recipe to like knowing how to cook. Is cooking through a cookbook like, because I feel like I can follow a recipe. I can make something that tastes good usually. Yeah. I did actually. Okay, this is the perfect time to tell this. So my husband is in charge of food in our house. I tried for a long time, was like, he loves to cook and he's really good at it. So I'm like, you go. You like, he does meal planning, he does the shopping, he does the food. I do other things. But he, the other night, my girls, I have toddlers who are just about to turn 3, and they wanted to cuddle with Dada on the couch. And so I was like, okay, I'll make dinner. And I was making grilled cheese. I can make grilled cheese. Okay. I have to say, I know how to make grilled cheese. I've made it a million times, just like not lately. And so I was using a different pan, like a little pan, and something about the little pan, because it was just like less cleanup. Something about the little pan kind of threw me off. And like, I was trying to flip, like trying to be a little extra fancy about the way I flipped it. I was trying not to get cheese everywhere. Somehow in this, I end up, I'm also cooking on a new stove. I hadn't cooked on the stove yet. And so it got way hotter, way faster in this pan and the stove. So I ended up just absolutely destroying the first grilled cheese. Like it was black on one side. Like you couldn't scrape it. My toddlers were not going to eat it. So I threw that away and was like hoping that they couldn't smell it, that they just like weren't noticing what was happening behind them. So I'm making the second grilled cheese and I'm like just a little bit distracted, a little bit like discombobulated because of the black grilled cheese for the first one. And because I have this really little pan, I ended up setting it down on our plastic cutting board and like not even thinking about it. And like, I've never done something like this before. Like, I'm bad, but I'm not that bad. And then I'm like, oh. And I go to like pick it up and it's stuck because it like melted on there. I mean, we salvaged the pan, threw away the cutting board. It was a whole thing. But I'm like, man, I'm bad at this. I am out of practice. All of that to say. So like, how do you, like, I can generally though make a recipe and have it taste pretty good. I think I just have never been able to gain enough skills that I could do it without a recipe telling me exactly what to do. Like, is that part of, how do we get from one to the other, I guess, is my question.
Oh, yes. I think that's a great question because I did end up cooking through that whole cookbook. And then I got another cookbook and I was like, I'm really getting the hang of this. Like, I was like, I love this. I feel like I'm getting the hang of it. And then I was still like pretty frequently burning things or like pretty frequently, like I severely oversalted some vegetables. And I was like, but the recipe said, like, what? I'm like, what are we doing? I just was like, how am I, like, how have I cooked through a whole cookbook? How have I been cooking for going into 2 years and I still wouldn't know what to do if something went wrong? Yeah. And I was like, there's got to be another like step here. It can't just be reading a recipe. So what I decided, or what I realized, is I had become a really good recipe reader, but maybe I had not actually learned like the science of cooking. And so when a recipe said something, and you know, like maybe it says cook your chicken in the pan for 6 minutes on the first side, and I can clearly see that the chicken is burning, but I'm like, no, but the recipe says 6 minutes.
It has not been 6 minutes. Yes.
Yeah, it's like it hasn't been 6 minutes. Or whatever it is. And so I was like, okay, I want to learn a few techniques, a few like tips, tricks about cooking. And then I think that if I have those in my like cooking tool belt, I can probably know how to like appropriately read a recipe. Again, like if it calls for chicken breast, I have chicken thighs. Or if it says there's a whole section in the book that goes through testing your oven and your stovetop to know how hot and cold they burn or heat. Because that's the thing. We've like Jeremy and I have lived in so many different houses and every stove is different. Like every stove is different. So every time I move into every time I'm in my new kitchen, the first thing I do is I test the oven, which you test with bacon, which is delicious. Or if you're a vegetarian, I have a baked potato option. And you can test it that way. And then the same with the stove. I have like a water test that I do with the stovetop. And so I know like, okay, the recipe says 6 minutes. My current stove burns so hot so fast. So I'm like either knowing that I need to flip the chicken sooner or when it says medium high heat, I always know like I'm on medium heat. Like this thing's too hot. I'm never turning it to medium high.
I am so justified in this moment. I'm like, okay, my first time on a new stove, that was not my fault.
Oh, no. No, it is so tricky, especially if you have been cooking with the same stove for a while. And you automatically learn, like, I flip the grilled cheese in 3 minutes mm-hmm. or however long it is. Mm-hmm. Oh, but that's kind of that's where that shift came for me. So once I like learned all those and I teach them in the cook's book, then I'm like, that's where you go beyond recipe reading. That's where you're like, okay, I know what to do now. Or I'm reading this recipe and, you know, something I say in the cook's book is the recipe creator. So for example, me creating, like, I don't know how hot your stove runs. I don't know what kind of salt you use. I don't know if you like spicy food or not spicy food. But if you know those things, then when you read my recipe, you can adjust for what you know you're doing in your own kitchen with your own tools.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. As many of you know, I recently wrote a book, and while it was the most rewarding project of my career so far, it also came with a lot of hard work and long nights. And sometimes when things started to feel a little bit overwhelming, I needed to get a few things off my chest so I could clear my mind and keep the writing process flowing. And the thing that helped me so much to sort through those feelings was therapy. Now tell me if any of this sounds familiar. Maybe you're going through something really hard right now, a big loss or a gigantic life transition. Maybe you frequently feel anxious, depressed, overwhelmed, or just generally discouraged. Maybe you really, really, really want your life circumstances to change, but you don't know how to actually change them. Or maybe you're feeling stuck as you try to work through your past, navigate your present, or figure out your future. Friend, if you can relate to any of this, you're not alone. I've been there, and therapy has been the thing that has helped me more than anything else with all of this. In the last 10 years or so, I've learned that strength isn't proving I can do it on my own. It's knowing that I don't have to. I'm at my strongest when I have a full support system around me, and an essential part of my support system is therapy. Therapy can be absolutely life-changing. That is, if you can afford it and find a therapist you like and trust. But of course, this is easier said than done, and that's why I'm so excited to be partnering with this week's podcast sponsor. Our sponsor for today's episode is BetterHelp. BetterHelp is the easiest and most affordable way I've ever found to find a great therapist. It's entirely online and super easy to sign up. You can get started right away, and if you don't love the counselor you're paired with, switching is easy and it's free. If you're going through something hard in your relationships, or if you're in a funk you just can't shake, if you've been feeling anxious or depressed lately, or if you're feeling stressed and you need help balancing your everyday life and schedule, BetterHelp is an incredible resource for you. And I'm so thankful that they've given me a promo code that I can share with you to make it even easier to get started. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/friendship today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/friendship.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
This is so random, but for some reason, I don't have a sensitive stomach to anything except for garlic and onions. And really? I can like eat Italian food and stuff, but if it's like really garlicky or really, really oniony, it'll bother me. And so anytime I'm making something and it's like, use a whole onion, I'm like, I'll use a quarter of an onion. But that's yes. A good example of like, that totally makes sense. You don't know if they like spicy things or not. And so you have to know yourself.
Yeah. Yes. I feel like learning your pans, your soap, your palate, then it's like I was going to say a recipe for success, which was just too on the nose.
It's just too perfect. What about, I can get into cooking if I have a free afternoon and something sounds good and I like don't have anything on the calendar or a deadline or whatever, but that is never the case. Like I never have that much free time. So how do we, like, I guess, is there a way to make cooking faster or make it more enjoyable in like a smaller amount of time? How do we do this when we don't just have like a free afternoon to make a mess and enjoy?
Oh. Well, I think part of that is definitely the meal plan. Cause I'm like, if I don't have a meal plan, then that is definitely when stress and chaos come into the picture. Cause I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, what am I going to make or whatever. I always like to put things on my meal plan that I know I'll get excited about. And so that helps too. Cause I'm like, for example, we always do Friday night pizza night, and actually Jeremy makes the pizza, not me. But, it's just like I get excited about it every single week, or, you know, like people like Taco Tuesday. And it's just like, you just know every week and you kind of get excited like, oh my gosh, we're going to have nachos tonight, maybe a margarita. So I always like to put a little fun in my meal plan, which is perfect because usually when you're meal planning, you do kind of have that time and energy to think through like the week and stuff. And so I try to put like a fun recipe or something that I'm going to get really excited about. And I also try to do like maybe two of the recipes are going to be something that's more like a 30-minute meal, but then I'll make the other recipes. Like Jeremy will cook on Friday. So I just know like, and that's I know other friends that they're like, yeah, we take turns every other day, or, you know, I cook for 2 days, then my partner steps in on the third day or whatever. And so I think that helps with burnout of like, oh my gosh, I'm back in the kitchen. What I'll also do is I'll put like some really, really like low hanging fruit or easy recipes, like maybe a soup that uses pre-bought rotisserie chicken. So it's like, I'm just using that shredded chicken. I'm not having to make the chicken all on my own. Or I have a roast in my cookbook called Get Me Out of Takeout Mode Roast. Because it's like whenever I fall into that takeout cycle and I just need a home cooked meal that's going to kick me out of that rut. It's this roast, which is literally like a roast in a jar of pepperoncinis, and it's not spicy and it's so good and it's so juicy and it is really good on nachos or tacos or over a baked potato. So like even just planning like some really, really simple meals, like 2 or 3 simple meals, I think helps a lot.
So planning some really simple meals, I love that. And I think that I'd never thought about that. When it comes to meal planning, what I picture, and I don't know if I'm alone in this, but I picture like getting on Pinterest and looking up like a bunch of different things that you'd like to make, or even like looking through a cookbook and picking like, you know, 7 things out. Right. And like, that is so overwhelming. And then you have to figure out like what ingredients you need for each one. And then like, how much of an onion did you use for recipe A, right, and how much do you have left over for like, it's just a lot of math.
Oh my gosh.
But what you're saying is like, pick out, designate days instead. Like,
yes,
Wednesday is easy day, or like Thursday's takeout, pizza's Friday, but we'll yep, make it ourselves. And like having some routine to it, that's what you're planning, not let me pick 7 fancy meals and slot them into 7 days.
Oh my gosh. Yes, exactly. Because I used to do that. And then it is so discouraging when you are cooking a new recipe and it doesn't turn out well. And the next day you're cooking a new recipe and maybe that, and it's like discouragement builds on each other. And so I think that keeps people from wanting to like show up in the kitchen. I know it did it for me. I was like, this is so discouraging. I spent all that money on those groceries, all that time.
And then you give up and it's like you have like 3 recipes of groceries just sitting in the fridge, like taunting you. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And then you get to the end of the week and you're like, oh no.
Uh-oh. I either have to make all of these or none of these and start over.
Exactly.
The shame.
The shame. I know. And I talk about that. Like I kind of have a manifesto in the book that's like, hold on to this as you like become a more confident, joyful cook. And one of them is like, always plan wins. Like always start with wins, because winning also builds on it, on each other. So if you can plan recipes that you were like, I know I can nail this recipe and I know my family loves it, like that will only encourage you to keep showing up to the kitchen.
I love that. What do you do with like leftovers? Do you have a leftover strategy to like make one thing and cover more meals? I'm all about doing less work for more food.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that so much. We eat our leftovers a lot for our lunches. And so they kind of like, they go pretty fast. But I do love like when I do a pot roast, and I think this is also really helpful. I think in like theory, sometimes I'll make a pot roast and I'm like, this is going to stretch the whole week. And then I'll get to like, you know, day 2 or 3. And I'm like, I don't want pot roast anymore. Like I'm very over pot roast. Yes. And so what I have to do is I have to decide, what am I exactly doing with this pot roast every night, so that I don't just like keep serving this. So the first night, maybe it's like the pot roast over mashed potatoes. And then the second night, it's like sheet tray nachos with like some pepperoncinis or whatever. And then the third night, maybe I like use it for some kind of like sandwich or barbecue sandwich situation. And so I do like to like, it's like usually salads, sandwiches, nachos, something over baked potatoes. And I just like, we'll mix it up a little bit, like add a different sauce to it or add different like herbs or whatever. But I plan it. Like I plan it like it's a different recipe for every night, even though all I'm really doing is like pulling out the bag of tortilla chips.
I can do this. This is good. And like with different sauces too, like that really changes things up. And I meant to say something about this. When you said picking out things that you're excited about, like that's the other thing, is that when I picture meal planning or like you know, having dinner on the table for my family every single night. Like, it's always stuff I don't like. I'm in my head, I'm like making like mushy green beans every night because that's like what you're supposed to make or something.
Yep.
But like every time you say nachos, I'm like, nachos. I can do nachos. Like that's so, yeah, making stuff that you're actually excited to eat and excited to make. That's, I don't know why that doesn't, that's not obvious, but it's not.
It's not. It's really not, which is so weird. I feel like we just kind of grew up. I don't know why, like who taught us this? I was always like thinking about that. Like who taught that, you know, you had to cook these specific meals or that you had to cook really big meals every night or that you always had to have three side dishes, like, or that you even, something else that I teach in the book is about cooking early. So a lot of times, and it helps if you, not everybody's able to do this if they don't work from home, but sometimes I will like literally cook the meal at 2 p.m. Like if it's a soup or whatever, like I cook the whole thing and then I put it in the refrigerator. And then when it's dinner time, I'm like, why are we going into our kitchens at 6 p.m.? We're tired. We're hungry. Like,
yes.
Or even doing something, which Kendra from The Lazy Genius teaches a lot is like, what can you do now, right now? So maybe in the morning you're drinking your coffee and you're like, hey, I can shred that rotisserie chicken in there. I can shred that right now. And so, or I can chop those vegetables right now. And then just, they're already chopped and ready to go. And I'm like, yeah, that's so smart. Why are we doing everything at 6 p.m.?
Doing like cooking dinner at 6 p.m. is like the equivalent of going to the grocery store hungry. And it's like, we know better. You know, you're coming out with Twinkies if you go to the grocery store hungry. But it's like, yes. We should know that if we are asking the, what do you want to do for dinner question at six, it's right. Like the only acceptable answer is Thai. Like yes. The only acceptable answer is takeout if you don't have something planned already.
Exactly. For sure. That's always going to happen. Oh my gosh. The amount of times. But I was like, oh, sorry, door dashing wings.
Like, yeah.
Like, we're just going to have to.
Uh-huh.
The time for the conversation has passed.
Yes, 100%. 100% that. I want to ask, because even though I'm not good at this and even though I don't like this, in my head, I love hosting. I love my people. I love eating with my people. And I want to be the kind of person who like feeds people. However, if cooking for yourself is intimidating, cooking for lots of people is like 10 times as intimidating. So what tips do you have for us when it comes to like having other people at our house that we are in charge of feeding?
Oh, yes. I also learned this the hard way because I was the person that would have people over to our house, especially like maybe new people, like we don't know them, they're new neighbors or whatever. And I would be like, I am going to make duck confit. Never in my life have I made duck. And I'm going to make a souffle.
Huh?
What, like, it's already low-key stressful. Even, like, I'm an extrovert and I love being around people. I love meeting new people. But it is stress. Like, it is already kind of stressful to be like, oh, we're having new people into our home. And are we going to click? And, like, you know, is there going to be judgment about my house or whatever? And now we're throwing in a duck? Like, what am I doing?
Who added a duck to this situation?
Who added a duck
would make it better?
Exactly. I'm like, what is happening? And then I'm stressed out while I'm cooking dinner because it's obviously not coming together. And I'm like, so great. So not only am I now stressed about like everything that goes on with having new people to your house, now I'm going to feed them bad food. And so what I decided to do is, especially for new time, like if it's the first time that you're having someone over, I always know what recipe I'm going to make. It's called, and I actually call it first hello pasta in the book because it's like every single time I don't even have to think about it, which really makes inviting people over a lot easier when you just know. I'm making, everybody loves this pasta. I know how to make it with my eyes closed. It's really hard to mess up. So even if something did go wrong, it's like probably still going to be really delicious. And it also works with like, so many different food needs. So I can make it dairy-free if I need to make it dairy-free. I can serve it over vegetables if someone can't have, you know, grains or anything. So that really helps too. So I just have like, I always say like pick one or two recipes that you are like, I am so good at this. And I feel so confident making this. And just like, always just know like I'm making this. This is what I'm making.
I love that. And unless you are a duck master.
Right.
Don't choose duck or souffle.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Talk to me about grocery shopping. Do you have any like grocery shopping master tips that we should know?
Oh, well, the first is I use this app called Paprika. Have you heard of this app?
No.
It is my favorite. I have been using this app for like 10 years. And so it's an app that you can put on your desktop. You can also get it on your phone and you can share it. So like Jeremy and I have access to the same Paprika app. And not only can you like have your grocery list. So I have like Whole Foods, Dierbergs, Trader Joe's. So you can separate out like where you need to get certain things. But you also can put recipes into it. So you like can copy a URL and put the rest. It will just download the recipe into the app. So when you go to say, like, let's say, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm having chicken pot pie soup tonight. In the app, I go to the recipe and then it has a little like shopping cart and I click on the shopping cart and it automatically fills all the ingredients for that soup. And so all I have to do is go through and like unselect like, oh, I already have the salt. I already have the broth. And then it lets you put which grocery store do you want to add these ingredients to? So you can say like, oh, these groceries I get at Whole Foods or whatever. And then you can put it, and then they have a calendar view where you can put like, so you can pull it up and say, this is what we're making. So sometimes Jeremy and I will go in the grocery store and I'll be like, I'll get the dairy. And he's like, I'll get the vegetables because it separates it out by category also. So that way, and you can see things checked off. So you can open it and be like, oh, Jeremy already he made it to the boxed pastas aisle.
Oh my gosh.
I cannot live without it.
That is how? Like I've used a couple of different apps, but again, it's like, you have to select from a pre-populated list of recipes that are all very complicated and like not what I wanted to eat. And it's like so much food and it's so expensive because it's all the stuff you wouldn't normally buy. And like yes. The whole thing, it's like I have like a graveyard of kitchen apps and meal planning apps on my phone. This sounds, and it just, it like anywhere the recipe's from, it'll like, it figures out.
Yeah, it just, you put it in the URL and you just say download and it pulls the whole recipe. Sometimes there are some sites, but I have found very few that are like, oh, they won't allow Paprika to download. But I think I found that once or twice. Like all of the recipes I have live in Paprika. I think it's like $9, which usually apps are free, but I'm telling you like it is worth every single penny. I do not know how to meal plan without it and like grocery shop without it.
I am so glad I asked. Okay. We will be purchasing this and we will have it in the show notes. Yes. Everyone, you're welcome. That's amazing.
Yes.
What are some things that you have in your pantry that like we should have in our pantry most of the time? Because that's the worst thing is you're like, oh, I'm inspired to make something. And then you want to make something and you have like none of the stuff you need and like none of the basics. So what are like keep on hand basics?
Oh, yes. I always have, obviously, like my salt and pepper, like peppercorns. Always have that. Always. And kosher salt. Diamond Crystal kosher salt is like the best salt for cooking. So I always have that. And then I always have like boxed pasta because pasta is so easy. You usually, especially if you have like butter or garlic, that's so easy. So I always have boxed pasta. I always have boxed stock for like quickly throwing it together soups. I always have a jar of sun-dried tomatoes. I know that's specific. Some people are like, I don't like those, but I love it for soups. They make really flavorful soups and pizzas. I also always have capers, which I love because they have like that salty bite to it. Mm-hmm. So you just throw it on chicken or even throw it on salads and it's like so good. I always have frozen garlic cubes on hand. Those are from like Trader Joe's.
What?
This is life-changing. Okay, this is another thing that Kendra from The Lazy Genius shared. And I was like, what? So with garlic, I'm very passionate about fresh garlic because I think jarred garlic tastes very different. I understand people who use jarred garlic because like life is busy or whatever. And I'm like, 100% use what you got to do, especially in the season of life you're in. But it does taste very different from fresh garlic. So people are always like, well, what if I can't, like, I just can't be fooling around with fresh garlic. And I'm like, I have not found a good alternative. enter these frozen cubes. So it is, they're in the frozen section of Trader Joe's, but also now I've found them at Whole Foods. I found them at Target. And they just, it's like you pop it out. It's one cube equals one clove of garlic minced. So that's really easy too. So if a recipe calls for like, you know, two cloves of garlic minced, you just pop it out and you just add it to what, like in your saute pan, in your soup. They also have frozen ginger, which I love to have on hand because I feel like with ginger, I always buy, I end up buying the whole ginger and then I'm like, I'm not going to use this whole ginger.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot. And people are like, mince it and freeze it. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that.
No, that seems like a lot. Yeah.
That seems like a lot. Or keep it in the freezer. And I'm like, but then I always find like this weird, I'm like, how long has that ginger been in the back of my freezer for? So they have them frozen ginger cubes too.
That is there anything else like that, that where it's like, this comes pre-chopped or pre-something, get that.
Oh my gosh. I have not found anything like that. I was kind of like, it'd be nice if they did maybe some fresh herbs, but I don't know, like, if the quality is still there. So maybe that's why they're, but I'm like, man, it'd be so nice. Cause I feel like it's those fresh things that really add a lot to a dish, like fresh cilantro, fresh basil, where you're like, you don't always have it on hand. Yeah. And you're like, ah, this, like I could have thrown together a caprese salad soup, but I don't have any basil, but I have all these tomatoes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But though, I think that has been the best. I think the other one that is really nice is like, if you don't always find, if you find yourself like always being like, oh, I don't have chicken stock, like I need chicken stock, is getting like the bouillon cubes or even the, like the paste that they make, because that is like shelf stable. And so you can always be like, I can throw together stock real fast.
Yeah.
So I love that one.
Okay. That's a really good list. We have Italian food is like my go-to. But it's like the only thing I make. It's my favorite thing to eat. And so we always have like, you know, good pasta in the pantry. We always have good sauce. You know, we always have kind of, I can throw together some sort of caprese, anything. As long as it has like tomatoes and fresh mozzarella, that's like, I can really hook you up with that.
Oh, that's so good.
What's your favorite kind of food to cook and what's your favorite kind of food to eat?
I think my favorite kind of food to cook, which I'm like, what is this category? It would be like meals that are very time intensive. Which is so funny, but because I love cooking so much, like I love it. And so, you know, like a risotto, like I love just like stirring the risotto for 30 straight minutes, you know, just getting like a glass of wine or like listening to a podcast and just like, and like really enjoying the experience of like adding the butter and the onions or like making like tipsy braised short ribs. That's a little bit intensive because you're like searing the meat and then you're like sauteing the veggies and you're making the sauce that goes on it. I just like, I'm like, oh, is this going to take me an hour? I can't wait. It's very bizarre. But I think it's also like those dishes tend to be like very rich. I love a rich, like with the tipsy braised short ribs when like the meat is just falling off the bone and there's like these creamy mashed potatoes and you're, oh, I love rich food. Like, I love it so much.
Everyone's so hungry now.
I am. I'm so hungry.
Is that your favorite? Like, if you're going to go out or if you're going to eat something that someone else has made, what's your go-to?
I would say it would be seafood.
Okay.
Because I do like making fish at home, but I don't make a lot of like shellfish, like the crab or the lobster or even like shrimp very rarely. Or maybe it's like, oh, the shrimp at my grocery store is always a little fishy. So when I'm at a restaurant or like when I want to go out to eat, I'm like, I want to go somewhere where there's like really good, I want a seafood tower. Or seafood boil.
Uh-huh.
Or sushi. Like, I love going out for, like, the best, freshest sushi.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. What about you? What is your favorite when you go out?
Oh, gosh. Everything. I really love, like, any sort of Asian food. And, yeah, pasta. Anything Italian is also, like, a total go-to.
Good.
What's your favorite recipe in the cookbook? I want to like have that circled so that I can try it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I think that it is the Tipsy Brie short ribs.
Okay.
It's so good. And it's actually like, even though it takes some time, it's actually a really simple dish.
Okay.
Like there's not a lot. So I would say that, or the other one that I really like is my sweet potato shepherd's pie. It's like, it's also, that one is really simple and it's like so rich and delicious. And people who are like, oh, I don't really like shepherd's pie, fall in love with that, this one. Okay. So to include my husband, was like, when he came home one day, I was like, look what I tested. And he was like, oh, I don't like shepherd's pie. Now it's his favorite dish.
Ah, all right, all right.
Oh, and there is this one you will love. There's a Thai basil stir fry in there that comes together literally in like 20 minutes. Like it's so fast and it's so good. And you serve it on coconut rice.
Okay, okay. Sold.
Yay.
Do you have any just last encouragement for like anyone who's feeling intimidated by this whole thing or overwhelmed?
Oh, yes. I would say one thing that I always like to tell people, because it's kind of a message I told myself, is that I was always like, I'm just not a good cook. Like I'm a bad cook. I'm like, that's just, it's just part of my DNA. And I really was like, wait, I don't think that's true. I don't think that someone is a bad cook or, you know, not a good cook. I think you just haven't learned some of the tools yet, which is what it was for me. I was like, I just didn't know that ovens run differently. I didn't know it. And so sometimes when you don't know something, it's easy to immediately kind of be super discouraged or just be like, this is just not a skill set I have. And so I would say like, kind of reframe that talk of like, I just haven't learned that yet. Well, that's a Shauna Nyquist book.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I love that book, by the way. But like, I just haven't learned that yet. Like, it's not that I'm a bad cook. It's just, I haven't learned the appropriate or helpful skills for how to cook. And then start somewhere, just pick somewhere where you want to start. If you want to cook through a cookbook, I highly recommend cooking through the cook's book. I think that's a great place to start.
Yes.
But yeah, just start somewhere and just start like being like, and every failure is a lesson learned. Like I always say that something that failed, like I burned, I oversalted, I undersalted. I always feel like I graduated from a class I didn't sign up for. But I learned a very important lesson. I'm like, yeah. Oh, that salt is salty or that oven runs hot. And so instead of looking at it as like, wow, I really messed that up, you can be like, well, now I know something that I didn't know before.
I love that. I graduated from a class I didn't sign up for. Now I know something yes. I didn't know before. I love that. Brie, you are a total delight. I'm so excited about this book. Thank you for letting me like sneak into the world of food and enjoy it, even though I'm like, I don't have my credentials yet, but I'll get there.
You'll get there. Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. This was really fun. And now everybody knows about paprika.
Everyone knows about paprika. We'll have everything linked in the show notes, you guys. Don't worry. Thanks, Brie.
Thanks.
You guys, isn't Brie amazing? I just love her and I love this conversation and I'm so happy I got to share it with you. One thing I wanted to mention quickly is that I know we talked about a lot in today's episode. And so if you want to find the links to any of those things, all you have to do is go to my website. It's girlsnightpodcast.com. And for every episode, we have a blog post with the show notes. All the links will be there for everything we talked about, including all of Brie's contact info, so you guys can follow her and so y'all can be friends. The other thing I wanted to mention is that if you haven't had a chance yet, it would mean so much to me if you would take just a second to leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We've gotten so many amazing 5-star reviews from y'all, and you've left the sweetest comments. I cannot tell you how much it means to me, and it also helps out the podcast more than you can imagine. So if you haven't yet, please take just one quick second to leave us a rating and a review. Thanks so much. All right, friends, that's all we have for today, but we'll be back next week with another episode of Girls Night, and you are going to love this one. I'll see you then.